I was thinking again about what you said this morning. Something stays the same, something changes. And I tried to keep it throughout the whole thing. The first thing I tried was very childish when you said, I looked at something very close and I closed one eye and then the other, and it would change, the thing would change. So then I'm stable, it's as if the thing moves. Then with the peripheral, it was nice to have my hand in my vision, but not notice the hand, notice everything else. And I would move around and everything would change, the hand would stay the same, and then the other way around. And yes, the possibilities are endless of keeping one thing stable and changing everything else. And I found that very interesting.
It's kind of fascinating that through focusing on my peripheral vision, that suddenly with closed eyes, my peripheral perception grew much stronger as well. Like, especially like now in the end.
But for me also, how kind of exercising the eyes, the sight, the sight, the sight, and then you take that away, and then you realize how quickly something else comes up to fill that gap, I think the hearing, I think.
For you, the hearing.
The moment that, you know, exercise the eyes, the moment that takes the eyes away, I could really feel my hearing kind of lift up to match that sense that had been taken away, I think, yeah.
Having come from the outside world and traveling in London, where you're so overstimulated, and I realized actually coming in here and actually being able to pare it right down, how actually when you're outside, how little you actually see and perceive, because there's just so much. And actually then it was actually really lovely and beneficial to come in here and go, actually, this is my hand, and where are they in relation to my eyes, and what actually does that mean, because it was two very extreme situations, which was good.
Just going back a tiny bit to when we took our sight away, I was just quite amazed at how ingrained it is in my peripheral vision is ingrained in my body, so I know exactly where it ends, even if my eyes are closed, and how kind of much of a bodily experience peripheral vision is, not just a sightly one.
I had a couple of interesting things today. Firstly, when we had to just follow our focus, I found it really impossible not to engage my other senses. I wanted to touch everything and I wanted to smell everything straight away today, whereas yesterday I felt it was okay just to use my eyes, but I kind of found everything really irresistible today. Thing about peripheral vision, I realised that this side, peripheral vision, is very kind of always very active, but when I did this and saw my hand from here, I was like, oh, this bit of peripheral vision is normally quite empty. We don't often see things appearing in our peripheral vision this way. So I spent some time moving with something here, which was a very bizarre sensation. And the last one was just that I had a really lovely moment where I felt like I got really lost in the peripheral, and like it was a real, I really enjoyed exploring that and moving my hands through it. It felt very tangible.
If you've ever done horse riding, a horse can't see this part of its vision. It only has the outside, and it's sort of an evolutionary thing to pick up predators, because the predators will try and sneak from the sides. So if a horse goes over a jump, it can't see the jump. It can see it when it comes around the corner, but it can't actually see it as it's jumping it. So I was trying to cover my middle bit of vision and just see the outside, and that was really hard because actually if you put your hand there, it shrinks. I was getting very confused about how I could like chop out the middle bit, and sit, you know, I tried playing with that.
Yeah. So this is something very early, and I just want to say it because I'm thinking about trying to figure it out. So it's something that resonated with me this morning that Miriam said, time for me and time for you and time for us. So I was very aware when I was doing the yielding and pushing this morning, and even when I was going into the very first stage of the eyes there, like how tired I felt and how difficult I found it. And like I was kind of relating that maybe to the time for me or something. And then, yeah, just kind of, I'm very much at the beginning figuring this out, but moving into maybe time for you or us, like it always feels much easier and kind of safer for me or something. Yeah, so it's just kind of interesting. I'm just like very early stages, but I can feel something kind of resonating there.
Yeah, I think similar to what some people have said, but about the peripheral revision, that somehow it connected a lot more to my back space and my jaw relaxed and my hearing became more acute. And my sense of balance really grounded, especially when I first did it. I was like, wow. And I linked to my sides as well, this connection of opening the sides, which sometimes I feel like when I close my eyes, it becomes very kind of tunnel-led. So suddenly this kind of opened up, yeah, like Meg said, not just the sight, but physically a lot for me, and the backspace.
I think a couple of thoughts. One, something that I said earlier about how it's so different when we perform seeing and actually see, and I caught myself again when we perform hearing and actually hear, and I caught myself, I want to hear so much, and I'm really tense and up, I'm almost performing what I feel will help me to be so uber perceptive and hearing and perceiving everything, and how sometimes that actually can take away from actually perceiving. And then something else about the stability and unstable and like safety, and how we are creatures of safety and we want stability. And then we hear in the group and there is some more easy patterns that give us safety. All the pauses become the same length and we don't really creep into it, but we make something that is actually breaking it so that everybody else knows what we're doing. And I really tried not to follow that, and how much can you go against it, but then you end up being super antisocial and on the outskirts. So, yeah, so much play.
Yeah, about the antisocial, I think sometimes it's necessary to be antisocial. Yeah. And if like you feel like sometimes you really need to insist for a change to happen. Otherwise, you know, I mean, how do you call that? Inertia, you know? And so to break the inertia and the regularity and the stability and things are just, you know, becoming the same length and this, like sometimes you need a bit of an antisocial behavior.
I had two thoughts. One is that yesterday I felt like I really had wanted to rebel, but I didn't give myself the permission to do that and be antisocial. And that's really important actually too. And then secondly, I had this thought about that vision, you can see without seeing, that vision is not just in the eyes, that somewhere in the brain is also located vision. And if, you know, people who have have lost their sense of sight, if they connect to the right brain, reconnect, they can see again without the use of the eyes. Anyway, so just that thought of we can see. Yeah, what is that without the eyes?
Is from the experience we did yesterday with the eyes, I have this feeling that this process is going on and on and on. Also, when I came back at home somehow at the hostel, and I couldn't stop these things, and it's really incredible, like seeing color never seen before, and. Yeah, it's like this image I have that is something in my brain just woke up. So it's really, it's many things, emotional and physical together, and just it just happened. I didn't look for it. It just happened from outside, and I really like it.